Hello there, podcast land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Texts can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
What is up, podcast land? Episode 25 of the Behind the Barricade podcast starts now. I'm your host, John O'Connor, and I'm here with Daniel Tao. This could be the first of Dan's specialty show, where he talks with drummers about drumming and other things, of course. This show is still nameless, but the drummer he talks to isn't. Dan chatted with Garrett Goodwin, the drummer for country megastar Carrie Underwood. Not being a drummer myself, this was still a great listen. I'm not going to spoil it, and I'll let Dan go right into it. Before the podcast, I just wanted to give a shout out to the We're Not Wizards podcast all the way from Scotland. Yeah, Scotland. There's your accent. Hope you enjoyed that. If you love board games, RPGs, and card games, they're very interesting and it's a great listen. Also, keep subscribing and downloading our episodes along with theirs because sharing is caring, people. We're almost at 2,000 downloads, or maybe we're past it. I don't know. This whole thing is pre-recorded. So hopefully we're past it. Maybe we're on our way to 2,500, maybe 3,000, maybe 10,000. I don't know. But thank you to everyone who's been downloading and subscribing. You mean the world to us. Anyways, without further ado, here's Dan's interview with Garrett Goodwin. Hit it.
So we're here with Garrett of Carrie Underwood. Garrett, how are you?
Good, Dan. I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on the show.
No problem, man. It's an honor to have you on here. So for people that don't know, it's Garrett Goodwin. He's the drummer of Carrie Underwood. He actually has 5 studio albums and is a 7-time Grammy winner. Just to kind of start this off, what is it like playing for such like a high profile and popular country artist?
It's great, man. It's definitely a dream. You know, I never thought that I always hope, but never thought that I would make a living playing drums, much less for, you know, a top artist and, you know, touring around, playing shows and all that comes along with that is amazing. There's nothing like it. Mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, just go over the backstory, 'cause I mean, it's just crazy to think that, you know, if someone could just be a part of just a band or, you know, a musician like that, how did you get the gig? What was it like fate that happened to bring you there, or did you have any connections, or it just all out of hard work? What was it?
Yeah, I think a little bit of all of that. I moved to Nashville when I was 17, and you know, it's all about right place, right time, meeting the right people, networking as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And on top of having the ability, you know, there's a million guys that have the ability, but there's a lot more that come along with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I moved to Nashville when I was 17. I played in some local bands, some some other touring bands. And then when I was 19, it's crazy how it happened, but I got a call to go try out for Kerry. And I went in, played a few songs, and a few weeks later, basically got a call back. And the rest is kind of history from there. It was a moment where I was in the right place at the right time, doing something that I didn't even really want to be doing at the time. So it's wild how it works out, and it's all about just, you know, taking every gig you can and on and on. So yeah, now I've been there for more than 9 years. So,
So now when you say it was something that you didn't, you weren't, you know, thinking about doing, was it not a dream of yours, or you just didn't envision yourself being like, you know, a lot of people do it on the side, you know, it's, you know, I'm doing it for fun and you don't expect it. Is that what you're mentioning?
No. The whole tryout process came about. I got asked to go do a sound check basically for a gig that was happening. And it was in a group that I normally played with all the time, but they were having someone else play because they were recording an album and on. So it was a little bit of a tough thing when you get the call, hey, the drummer that's going to do the gig can't make it the sound check. Can you just come do the sound check? And it was one of those things where I luckily had great parents that said, you need to go do it. Just go do it. Have a good attitude. And, after the sound check, I got talking to the other two guys in the band, and they're session players in Nashville. And they were like, what are you doing these days? And I told them, you know, just trying to network, trying to do the Nashville thing. And they said, we might have something for you. What's your email address? And the next day I got an email from the band leader for Kerry. So I can say that that's one time in my life where I did not want to go do that sound check. I did not want to go do that at all, you know? And it's a pure example of doing everything you can and having a good attitude about it. Because if I wouldn't have done that, who knows, you know? So pretty wild.
Yeah. See, now, I mean, the rap sheet is huge. You know, you've performed with, you know, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, Keith Urban, Miranda Lambert, Dolly Parton. It's crazy to, you know, I'm seeing all these names and I know they're, you know, high profile and popular. To kind of like put a spin on that, you know, it is a lot of country artists on that list. Do you have any other music influences such as like rap, rock, metal, or jazz artists?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say, it's funny because I didn't grow up listening to country. I still don't listen to country. I've learned to appreciate country and certain aspects of it and certain artists. And I respect that absolutely. But I listen to everything but country. I listen to rock and pop and rap. And I think that you can kind of see that in my drumming. I don't play, yeah, I can play like a country drummer, but I always kind of have my feel, my sound that, is not very, country influenced. As far as my style. So yeah. And that definitely shows. Cause I respect it and I appreciate country, but I don't listen to it too often. It's pretty rare. So.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I feel the same way. You know, I'm a metal rock guy, and I would definitely, of course, if I had the opportunity to play a gig like that, I would certainly take it and appreciate the music I'm listening to. But you know, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat where, you know, that style doesn't really resonate with me as much. But, you know, obviously I've taken lessons and played different styles, so you'll learn to appreciate that. And do you feel that since you've played that style, you've appreciated it more, or like you like playing that style now since you know, you're accustomed to it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of learning and being, not made isn't the right word, but, you know, having to do something is, you know, with drumming, with anything, having to do it, kind of forces you to do it. And it opens up a whole new realm, whether you're, say you don't play jazz, but you know, you have to go play this jazz gig or whatever it is, it's going to open up a whole new musical side of drumming or guitar, whatever it might be. And, so yeah, I think it's definitely done that for me. I think, again, I've learned to appreciate it, but at the same time, I've enjoyed it because it's only grown me as a drummer, grown me as a musician, and definitely it's the more you know, the better, you mm-hmm. know, and it definitely puts a new spin on what you do at the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you in any other, any like side projects, you know, any different style bands that you kind of use the influences from country music that you're playing now?
Yeah, I have in the past, not currently. Mm-hmm. There is actually one guy that's on the road with us, and we get together all the time, and we kind of have our own little thing that we're actually going to be recording an album this summer. So that's something, and it's good to have that outlet, you know, and have something that you truly love, and that is kind of your own thing at the same time as you know, whether it's a big gig or whatever that might be. So mm-hmm. it's a good thing. And I have in the past of in just doing sessions and different things like that, you're always playing different styles of music. You're always mm-hmm. kind of expanding that. And again, yeah, like you said, having grown up listening to maybe not country, but now having that aspect as well, it mm-hmm. definitely all kind of comes together and helps in the end with sessions and with lessons and all these different things.
Mm-hmm. So now give us a little, you know, backstory on, you know, how you grew up. Cause it's funny. I'm not really like a lot of these people that I hear, you know, the drummers I emulate, they have a lot of cool stories where, you know, they started at a very young age or, you know, their parents took them here and they saw a drummer. Did you have any story like that where you kind of started at a young age because of, you know, various influences?
Yeah, I got my first drum set when I was 11 years old, and I had never picked up sticks in my life. I didn't have family members that were musicians, but mm-hmm. I grew up very religious, and I was in church all the time. And I would, at some point, I took to the drums, and I would stand behind the drummer every chance that I could possibly get,
mm-hmm.
and I would watch him and I would learn and I would try to pick up what I could. And finally I said, "Mom, Dad, can I get a drum set?"
Mm-hmm.
And, so that was kind of that. And there's a little bit of a story that goes with that. I the local music store, I went and got, I was going to get lessons,
mm-hmm.
and I went the first week and, you know, again, I'd never picked up sticks, never done any of that. And I went back the second week and the teacher looked at me and said, You'll never be a drummer. Don't worry about coming back."
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was, you know, at 11, it's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to play drums. I just thought it was cool. I loved it. And I think even at a young age, it kind of pushed me or drove me, whether I realized it or not. And yeah, I think that it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So now, were you did you grow up in Nashville or did you move there?
I didn't. I grew up in Florida, mm-hmm. And again, grew up playing in church there. And when I was 17 is when I moved to Nashville, mm-hmm. and been there ever since.
Now, how's the music scene there? I've heard from a drummer that actually moved down there that it's just crazy, especially with this style of music.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. It's really cool to be around so many like-minded people that are trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that can be a little bit intimidating, but at the same time, you know, if you want it bad enough and you have the ability and you go out and you work for it, you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's a really cool, it's a great place. It's a pretty big city, but it feels like a small town and mm-hmm. everyone knows everyone. And, it's amazing. If you want to do music right now, it's for sure the place to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it only filled with, you know, like country artists or pop artists, or is it that you see a lot of rock down there and other styles as well?
I think there was a day, maybe, man, I'd even say 10, 15 years ago that it was pretty much just country.
Mm-hmm.
But that is completely changed now and evolved. It's so much more. I have so many buddies that are in local rock bands and even just tours that come through. There was a day where, you know, a lot of pop rock tours didn't come through Nashville and now they do because it's such a diverse place when it comes to music mm-hmm. now, and which makes it more amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I could just tell, you know, from all the coverage and stuff like that, it just seems like an awesome place to be. But just, you know, I always see it from country artists and stuff like that. So for me being a rock guy, it's like, you know, I feel like, oh, that would be the place to be if I played that style of music. But it seems that's not the case.
No, I think more and more every day it becomes more open to everything. Mm-hmm. And you see it in... it's all around. I mean, I, it's funny because I feel like I see more rock, pop, you know, indie music in Nashville than anything. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just cause that's by choice, but I feel like I see that most. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you want the country, you can definitely find it. There's all the honky tonks and the Grand Ole Opry and all that stuff, but there's definitely a lot more, of the other stuff all over the place too.
Mm-hmm. So now since country isn't your primary, you know, genre, what is it rock? Is it metal? Is it jazz? What's your favorite style of choice?
I'd say rock and independent music. I'll sit and I will dig and dig and dig and just find bands that, you know, I've never heard of and on, because I just appreciate it. And I guess you'd call it indie music. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely more on the pop rock side. I'm have never really gotten into the metal thing. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's cool. It's mm-hmm. cool for a little bit, but for me, I can only handle a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. So you're the man. but yeah, it's, you know, I like most everything. I appreciate everything. And you know, there's just so much good music, and it's crazy because I feel like having that open-mindedness to all music as a musician mm-hmm. really opens your mind up as a musician and can exceed your ability a long way. Just being open-minded to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, off the top of your head, what are your top five artists?
Oh my gosh, man, that is a tough question. Right now, there's a band called the 1975.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of them?
I have not. I'm more of like the Disturbed, like, you know, Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace, that like popular hard rock, you know, nowadays.
Right.
You know, obviously I'm, you know, into some older stuff like Rush and Boston, and, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's the classic stuff that, you know, mm-hmm. how do you say that, like, Led Zeppelin's not top five,
mm-hmm.
or AC/DC or any of these, but you know, I listen to all those a lot. It really depends on the day. It's crazy. 1975. You know, I love Ryan Adams. Is mm-hmm. like, I love Ryan Adams. Love that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
It so depends on the mood. It's golly, man. That's a tough question. Man. We'll come back to that one. I'll think about it for a minute.
Sounds good. So actually, you know, I kind of didn't want to go into a lot of this because I wanted to definitely get a lot of, you know, background on you, but just speak a little bit about, you know, Carrie Underwood. I asked you the question about that in the beginning about playing for a popular country artist. How is she behind the scenes? Is she, you know, she seems like a very, you know, very nice person. How is it dealing with such a, you know, a popular figure in a band?
It's great, man. She's great. It's great. It's a great, she's easy to work for, and what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you see on stage and TV and whatever is how she is. Mm-hmm. She's just a normal person like you and I, mm-hmm. and she's talented, and it's, you know, it's the thing I can say is I'm proud to sit behind her every mm-hmm. night. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like I'm lucky enough to play for someone that's so talented and is also just such a great person. And, mm-hmm. And it's great, man. It's yeah. great.
I mean, you don't win 7 Grammys if you're not talented. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's just, I think it's great to see that, you know, someone that's, you know, obviously, you know, very, you know, on TV, high profile is doing well. And it's great to see that they're, you know, a great person as well. And they're not behind the scenes. They don't take advantage and they're still humble. It's great to see that.
Absolutely. Yep. That's it.
So now, do you feel, going to actually, you know, talking about the album Storyteller, Can you describe it to us? Like, how does the music influence your writing, or how does you as a drummer influence Carrie's music? Because did you join the band, obviously, after she was established? Does that affect you or her music in any way?
I don't find, you know, it's even from the live to the studio, the live band has most of us have been together for, like I said, almost 9 years. Mm-hmm. And it's something comes along with that, you know, time helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And we have such a tight bond, you know, as friends and all that, and again, playing together for so long that musically just, it kind of falls together. And, you know, we can play off each other on that. And, you kind of know what the other one's thinking, whether you realize it or not, mm-hmm. you know, or where it's going to go. And, like anything, you know, you do something with somebody for so long, it kind of becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, it's, again, live, there's a little more, you know, you put a little more to it than maybe the albums, and it works. It's fun, and you should have fun with it, and it's a good time.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they you write the drum parts, or are they like written out for you, and you have to kind of just perform them in the studio and live?
Everything's different. It mm-hmm. really just depends. It mm-hmm. depends on, you know, I'll go into a session, and sometimes, you know, the producer will have something that he wants specifically, or a writer. But it changes so much from that point to the recording point or the finished product that mm-hmm. it's kind of influenced by everyone as far as drumming goes, you know, and that's goes for any session I do, you know, and then some producers have you come in and say, we want you to do what you do. You know what I mean? We hired you to come in and do it. So do what you do.
Exactly. And,
which makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Now you've played on Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, Grammy, the CMAs, and the CMT awards. Is there any specific show that sticks out to you kind of over the others?
Yeah. I mean, they're all fun. They can tend to run together, kind of like arena shows. It's, you know, mm-hmm. people say, what's your favorite arena to play? And it's like, well, they're all kind of the same, you mm-hmm. know, so it kind of runs together. But, you know, those shows, Jimmy Fallon is obviously the hang and just the whole thing backstage is the, like what you see on TV to me, he's got the best thing going as far as late night shows. And, mm-hmm. and it's kind of the same vibe backstage. And, you know, it's always fun to do, again, for me, shows like the Grammys and things like that, because it's not just the country, you know, genre, which, you know, the CMA, ACMs, all that stuff is fun too, because you see all your buddies from Nashville. But mm-hmm. It's cool to do the things like Grammys and things like that, because you can make some of those relationships of, you know, LA guys and all that. And yeah, you know, I'd have to say as far as late night, Jimmy Fallon sticks out. And mm-hmm. And as far as the other award shows and things like that, I can't, you know, doing the thing with Steven Tyler and then the thing with Lindsey Buckingham, it's like those were kind of, those stick out to me because obviously we got to play with those guys. Exactly. Which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I always think about those when people ask me that question. Mm-hmm. So it's fun, man. Those guys are it's crazy because they both, in a way, have this, Lindsey Buckingham and Steven Tyler both have this thing of almost like a little kid, because they loved music. They love music. They still love music so much. Mm-hmm. And you can just see it. Like Steven Tyler it was right before he had an album come out, and he was like, "Kid, come out to my car. I want to show you some new songs." Like he was just so pumped about it. And it's cool to see that, you know, those guys still, after so many years, love it for the music. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the one good thing about this, you know, business. I think the passion's got to be there. And I think with music, it's more about passion and the love for what you do than, you know, making money. Because obviously we all know that, you know, making money in the music industry nowadays is really hard. So you gotta love what you do.
Absolutely. Yep. That's it.
Actually kind of wanted to go in a different direction. You're actually a drum instructor and a coach. How did that, did you start that later on in your career, or how did that work? How did that start?
Yeah. You know, it's really been in the last, I'd say year and a half that I've started doing that. I never thought it was something I would do. You know, like mm-hmm. I said, I never had lessons, and so I always say I don't know how to teach. Mm-hmm. and so I started doing, I got asked all the time, can you give me lessons? Can you give me lessons? And then I finally went, you know what? Yeah, I'll do it. So, and I put a different spin on it. I try not to do the typical, you know, all right, let's sit down and learn rudiments and things like that. Cause you can go on YouTube and learn all that these days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try more than anything to do lessons in a studio. Mm-hmm. And I will, I'll approach the lesson like a studio setting. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw songs at guys and talk about, you know, charting out songs during a session and walking in and having the right gear and you know what I mean? Like I mm-hmm. kind of approach it that way in a real life setting, whether it's sessions or live or whatever. That's kind of how I've approached sessions, probably because again, I never gave lessons or I never took lessons. And so I wanted to kind of do a spin on it. It's the same thing with clinics. It was, I had a few music stores and other people asked me, you know, you come in and do a clinic. And I said no a few times and I finally went, you know what? I need to do this. And, I'm not a big public speaker, so it was a stretch for me at first, but you know, now it's become second pretty nature. Natural. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a good thing. And same thing with that. I kind of a little bit different spin. I talk a lot about the industry and things that, you know, you can't necessarily go online and just learn, mm-hmm. you know, and I like to have the clinics a lot more conversational and, you know, I play, you know, I obviously play during the clinics and talk about drums a lot, but, I like to keep it as conversational as possible and try to give information and share information that people, you know, that are there want to know or need to know, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's been fun. It's been cool. It's, you know, like I said, I've only been doing it for about a year and a half now, but it's opened up a lot more doors and a lot more things. So mm-hmm. it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one good thing about clinics too, which actually kind of makes it a little easier, you know, as seen on the internet, actually been to a couple of drum clinics, is you can actually just play through the songs. And then that makes it easy, you know, when you're speaking, because at least you're describing, you know, what you play, how you decided to do that fill, how it is live, certain things like that. So I think that kind of helps that aspect.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It does. It's cool, man. I set up kind of weird, so that there's always lots of questions about that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, playing certain styles with a certain setup and all that. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. Now I see that you play with like a huge bass drum. It's not doesn't look like it's a normal 22 inch.
No. I use a 26 and mm-hmm. I use two floor toms basically as toms. I use a 14 and a 18. Mm-hmm. So I like big drums. I use big cymbals and all that. So mm-hmm. I like that sound. For certain things, if I'm in a session or whatever and it calls for something else, I'll use something else. But, mm-hmm. You know, if I said I had a sound, it would definitely be big drums. Mm-hmm. And, it's fun. I enjoy it.
Now, would you say that the 26 inch bass drum is more for like country music, or is that something you picked up, or you just decided that you liked the bigger drums and you just went for that out of the, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it was a country thing at all. I think mm-hmm. that country guys actually, you know, maybe more now, but used to go smaller.
Yeah.
And, you know, I Abel Boyle Jr. is a big influence on me and he uses big drums and I think I loved it. So I applied it and made it work. Mm-hmm. And now I think it works. It works great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Carrie's music, it works great. So I enjoy it. So if I can apply, you know, what I love and what I would naturally be drawn to, then it's even better for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I've actually never heard of Abe before. For someone, you know, for the people out there that don't know him, can you describe why he is your biggest influence and kind of like what makes him so great?
Right. Yeah. Abe Arborial is, he plays for Paul McCartney now. Mm-hmm. And so that says a lot. And, you know, it's about feel, mm-hmm. you know, he can play the chops and all the crazy stuff, but his feel is insane. Mm-hmm. And you can tell just watching him play, like he loves music and he feels it. He's not just playing the parts or, you know, just doing it because he's doing, he's so into it and locking in and playing in the pocket and all those things that come along with it. And I think I've always just been drawn to that. Which, you know, again, all the chops and all that stuff is cool and fun and awesome. But I appreciate more personally just seeing a guy sit with a click and making it feel as good as it can possibly feel, even if it's the most simple groove in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he definitely does that. And it's always been a huge influence for me.
Mm-hmm. Now it's funny. I was actually watching a video today from a session or a video you did with 180 Drums, and I actually watched you know Abe play too, and it was just so funny. It was like kind of watching part like of a replica of himself.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I watched it, I'm like, you know, it's, I kind of felt like I was watching the same person, you know, playing in someone else's shoes, man. But. The one thing I'd have to say describing his music or, you know, his playing is it actually kind of added, it had a lot of space, you know, in the drumming, and it had, you could definitely tell it's like that feel and had like, you know, not like offbeat, I would say not offbeat, but like behind the beat style, you know, hits. It was just definitely a crazy, you know, style. It was more about feel than, you know, just blasting away and stuff like that.
Absolutely. It's musical, you know, and it's musical in a different way than maybe the everyday thing. And I think that's what it is that makes it so cool.
Mm-hmm. Going over equipment again, being endorsed by DW and Promark and along with Sabian, those are some pretty big names, you know, basically the standards for drums nowadays. Do you ever have a dream of playing with those companies? And now it's so surreal that you're actually endorsed by them.
Oh yeah, it's like I swear when I send them emails, I'm like a little kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like I shouldn't be emailing DW Drums or whatever. And it's so cool, man, because they treat you like, you know, you're the top of their roster, and that's the coolest mm-hmm. thing in the world. It's just they're all great people, and that helps. And yeah, I mean, it's like when I got opportunity to be a Modern Drummer and mm-hmm. The magazine, and I when they called me, I thought it was a joke because I'm like, serious? Like I've looked at Modern Drummer my whole life. I never, you always dream of that stuff, but mm-hmm. you never think that
they're gonna call you one day.
Yeah, and I'm like, I literally said to his name's Adam, I said, no, you're not from Modern Drummer. What are you talking about? I didn't believe it. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty surreal having that stuff happen. And, you know, I'm super grateful and thankful.
Mm-hmm. So now you're actually 2013's up and coming drummer of the year for Modern Drummer. Did you had a special article? You had to do an interview. What was that process like?
Yeah, that's when I got the call. It was, he called me and he said, you got voted number one for up and coming. And I thought it was a joke again. So then, you know, a month later or so, there was an interview for it. And then, I think I was in the next month's article. So it's pretty cool. Pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy. It's so funny to look at this list and just, if someone was just looking at your rap sheet, it's like, all right, so I've definitely heard of all these, you know, shows, all these artists. As a drummer, you know, DW, it could only be a dream to, you know, play for a company like that. And, you know, Modern Drummer, that's basically the magazine for drummers. So you've kind of got a, you know, definitely impressive, you know, background, which is just crazy.
Absolutely. I'm thankful, man. I'm blessed.
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't be. That's like I said, that's just crazy. You know, like you said, you didn't really, who would have thought, you know, you'd have a gig with Carrie Underwood and then get a call to saying that you're an up and coming drummer, you know, for a modern drummer. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
So now actually, just to kind of like go back, because I had the opportunity of taking lessons with a local here in Whippany, New Jersey, Joe Bergamini. Now, he was definitely, you know, a great guy, definitely an awesome drummer and instructor. Do you emulate any specific drum instructors? Do you follow like a specific curriculum with your students? Or
I don't. Like I said, I like to, you know, there's certain guys that come in or kids that come in and they're brand new and they've mm-hmm. never picked up sticks just like I was. Mm-hmm. And so I just start with the basic stuff, and I've never followed a curriculum or program. I don't get a lot of, you know, new drummers. I get a lot of guys saying, hey, you know, what do I need to do to get a gig and be in a band? And, mm-hmm. and, you know, can you watch me play? And I kind of go about it that way. And then we work from there. You know, some guys I've had guys come in and I go, I don't know what to tell you, you know, you're amazing. And so then it's a lot about the industry mm-hmm. and connections and networking. And you kind of find out that they're completely either not approaching that the right way, or they're not doing it at all. They're mm-hmm. sitting at home every night. Even if they live in Nashville, they're sitting at home every night and they're going, why am I not getting called for a gig? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it sounds simple, but it, you know, there's a little more to it than that. Mm-hmm. So, and then guys that, you know, we'll see where they're at. And I'll say, you know, we need to work on this, 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 and this. And it's pretty cool. Cause you know, I work with a few guys over and over and just watching them grow and you know, guys that when they walked in, I would have said there's no way you could get a gig right now. And then now they're on gigs mm-hmm. and it's pretty cool. So I try to approach it that way rather than just a curriculum or a specific way. Cause again, and I think it's a great thing. I think it's a needed thing, mm-hmm. but I think that if I'm going to give lessons, that's not my, you know, specialty, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And that would obviously relay onto the kid or the person and they'd go, he's not enjoying it. But when I do it in a studio setting and we record drums and then we listen back and talk about it and, mm-hmm. and figure in, so they can hear, okay, you're right. I'm not playing with the click. Like I'm rushing like crazy or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy that more. And I think it's more real world, you know, all right, I can use this. I can work with this because at the end of the day, I want to do this for a living. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of how I approach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's cool because there's a lot of drum instructors or, you know, guitar instructors out there that it's basically just, you know, learning your rudiments, your scales, you know, maybe practicing a couple of songs. You kind of take it in, you know, a kind of like a unique approach that it's more of, all right, you know, we're going to be recording drums. We're going to be playing drums. You would need to play drums to be in a band, you know, to be in a touring band, a recording band, and also going over the music industry and how you can get gigs. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So now the music industry coaching, do you have any, say if you were just to give someone a quick insight, do you have, you know, maybe like a top five tips or, you know, anything that comes off your head that you would immediately tell someone or give them, you know, as like their first advice for, you know, kind of making it in the music industry as a drummer?
Yeah. I mean, I've said it already a couple times in a way, but, you know, networking and making the connections and, you know, those are definitely two huge things. Having a good attitude and taking gigs and not being too cool or too good for this or too good for that. And, mm-hmm. you know, showing up when you're supposed to show up and having your gear together and it being good gear, you know, those are all huge, huge things. Those are all huge factors. Mm-hmm. And those are definitely four or five things that are key. Cause like I said, there's a million guys in Nashville that are trying to do the same thing.
Exactly.
And can sound intimidating, but if you have all those little things that come along with it in a row, and you work hard and connect and get out and network and keep up with relationships and all that, then it's going to work out for you. I mean, I still do it. You know, I still, you're your own business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you've got to keep that going. I'm thinking about next year already. I'm mm-hmm. thinking about, all right, what am I going to do next year? What can I get set up right now that so I don't get to January and go, oh shoot, you know, what am I going to do this year? So you're your own business. You've got to think of it that way. So, you know, you've got to advertise, I guess you could say, and do all those things that you would if you had your own business. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the one thing I feel that it's a good opportunity that we have, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all this social media that you can promote this stuff. But I just feel like a lot more people in bands, like, they might not be making money, you know, with the records, but I feel like that's the opportunity for you to get more money or to get yourself out there, is to creating a brand for yourself and promoting yourself, obviously, as you know, along with your band. But I just feel that nowadays you definitely have the opportunity and the ability to do that, and you definitely should.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that we have all those things. It's amazing that we have Twitter and Instagram and all these things that you can pretty much reach out and contact anyone you want, any peer, any, you know what I mean? And that's an amazing thing that wasn't, you know, that wasn't very long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I talk to guys a good bit that are older, and they go, man, it's not me. I don't want to do that. I go, but it's what's happening.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep up with what's happening. You've got to keep relevant, and mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, it is what it is. And like for me, I don't like self-promoting. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not a big self-promoter, but you know, you've got to figure out your way of doing that, you know, whether mm-hmm. whether it's in a humble way or whatever that might mm-hmm. be, you've got to do it, because it's how you get work these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely, but at the same time, it's such a cool thing at the same mm-hmm. time. Once you wrap your head around it and go, man, I can literally email my favorite drummer and there's a good chance he's going to respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that I can connect with you on Twitter, and here I am, you know, Skyping you from, I'm in New Jersey and you're in Canada, and we're having a conversation. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I feel like these things need to excite you more than kind of get you down or have you kind of push them to a side, being like, oh, I'm not that type of person, or I don't use cell phones. I really feel like this stuff should be exciting, because it's just another tool that you can use to, you know, help yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, well, it's like these kids that are on YouTube and all of a sudden they're the biggest thing out there, mm-hmm. you know, like that says it all right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wouldn't have happened, you know, 15 years ago, or that would have never happened. And now they're the biggest stars and whatever you want to say. So,
yeah. I mean, Justin Bieber, you know,
there you go.
Got discovered for YouTube videos, and there's people out there that, you know, if you told someone that didn't know, they'd be like, wait, they just sit on YouTube all day and just describe playing video games in this weird, awkward way, and they're getting millions of views and money for this. It's crazy.
Yeah, millions of views and millions of dollars for that. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it's basically it's television. It's just a way of kind of creating your own TV show and promoting yourself through that, you know, avenue.
Absolutely.
So now, just a quick going back with the gigs. You know, in the beginning of your career, is that what you did? You kind of just took every gig you could, and did you fill in and join other bands, or was it a lot of gigs with like certain bands that you were in and out of?
Yeah, you know, I played consistently with one band. It was called By the Tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I was constantly doing just kind of one-off stuff, where it was, whether it was a showcase or a session or going out for a weekend with this band or this artist. And you still do, I still do that stuff when I'm home. I still do the same stuff. And, mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of up and coming artists and bands that are looking, you know, for bands and for musicians. And, So it's always been that way, and that's kind of how you get those connections. You know, that's a great way of getting those connections is, and you know, you might do one gig that you're like, why am I here? This is the smallest thing. I'm not getting paid anything. But those are the gigs that there's one person there that heard you, or there's, you know, one person you met and they go, man, I want this guy on my, you know, session, or I want this guy in my band, or whatever it is. So that's why I say, you know, take everything you can while you're trying to grow your resume and doing all that, because it's huge, and it goes a long way, whether you realize it or not at the time, it goes a long way.
Definitely. So are you ready to answer the top five artists, your influences?
I don't know if I'll say top five, but I'd say
top two or name five even, you know,
I'll name some bands. I love Tame Impala is a band I love. Gosh, man, this is the Arcade Fire. Arcade Fire is a band I love. Yep,
definitely heard of them.
Yeah. Probably a smaller band, Hammock. It's more of just kind of vibing. I don't even think there's lyrics on this stuff. I'm just naming bands that I love right now. I can't even say they're top five, but, you know, there's a chick artist that came out of it. It's called Wild Bell. It's really cool. Cool album, vibey album. I just like vibe. I like vibey stuff. I like musical stuff that's just maybe not the norm, not the everyday. Yeah, I mean, those are some bands. Like I said, 1975, Ryan Adams, Need to Breathe is a band that I really like. Yeah. St. Lucia. I can go on and on.
Yeah. So. It's funny because, you know, I've heard of Carrie Underwood and Arcade Fire, but I've never heard of any of those bands. So it's funny how those things, you know, tie together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's so much good stuff out there. And like I said, I just sit and I dig and dig because I love finding stuff that's not necessarily on the radio. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Actually to wrap it up here before we get to, you know, some plugs, do you play any other instruments?
I don't. I wish I did. I know that's sad to say. I've always said I was going to. I can play a little guitar, but very, very minimal. And I will get to it one day.
Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, the good thing about that is, you know, it's probably best to master one instrument before you move on to another. So
right, absolutely.
And then part two of this question: since you don't play any other instruments, if you weren't a drummer, what other instrument would you play?
Bass. I'd be a bass player. Bass? For sure. Yeah, I wish I could play bass more than anything.
Really?
Yeah, it's
unique because you don't really hear a lot. It's mostly guitar, you know, or vocals.
And again, it goes back there. It's feel. You know, it's all about feel. And I realize what goes away when the bass stops, you know, probably because I'm a drummer, you know, between bass and drums, there's the feel. And to me, the bass player adds so much to that. And, I just think it'd be the coolest. I will one day. I'm going to play bass.
So do you have any plugs? Tell people where to find you or, you know, any, you know, the instruments you're using, any gear that you'd like to shout out, let us know.
Yeah, man. GarrettGoodwin.com. You can find everything there. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. You know, all the companies you mentioned, DW, Sabian, Remo, Promark, DrumTax. I don't know if you've heard of DrumTax.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's actually kind of a coincidence. The drummer that I knew from Tennessee, he actually was endorsed by that company.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're the greatest thing. I know it's just a small thing, but those things have changed a lot for me, and it's a cool thing. But yeah, you know, there you go.
For everyone that wasn't listening or, you know, catches it at the end, this is Garrett Goodwin, the drummer of Carrie Underwood. You can find him at GarrettGoodwin.com, Facebook.com/MusicPro, Twitter.com/GGoodwin, and Instagram.com/GGoodwin. Thanks, Garrett, for your time, and it definitely was an awesome interview. Hopefully we'll have you on soon, and we'll, you know, check out one of your gigs in the near future.
Absolutely, Dan. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Good talking with you.
All right, thanks.
See you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Yellow desert screen.